If by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I want to talk today about, actually, yesterday's saint, St. Mary Magdalene. She has, for us, something truly unique that she possesses solely by herself, and that is a unique title to which she is remembered. Think about it when you look at your calendar or follow through reading about the lives of the saints during the entire year. How often do we see these titles? Confessor, martyr, virgin, bishop, even king, queen, and widow. These things are given to saints accordingly to their lives, and they are given to more than one. Yet St. Mary Magdalene is known to us in the calendar by a unique name, that is, Penitent. She alone possesses this from the Church. Not that it is to say that other saints didn't do penance. In fact, every single one of them did penance. That's part of how you get there in the end, after all. But she is remembered primarily for her penitence. That the sorrow that she had for sin and the reformation that she had for her life, these are the things that stand out most starkly for her. It wasn't done in a day. It wasn't done in a singular action. It wasn't even done over a period of time, but for the entirety of her life from the point of her conversion. It is a story which we see as parallel in some ways to the prodigal son, that early part of life of Mary Magdalene. She too was born into a noble family and had all of the things that she needed in life, and her family had a certain stature in society. Her siblings, Lazarus and Martha, we know them too from the scriptures, and we know that by their lives, the type of upbringing, in a sense, that Mary Magdalene had, it was not one that was devoid of faith. No, she was brought up fearing God. She was brought up to obey the laws and the commandments. She was brought up in all the same way as her siblings, to be pious. Yet, while Lazarus and Martha, they maintained their faith, Magdalene, she, for her part, fell away in her youth. She became not only a sad state, but a scandal to her family. She would be seen around wearing the most expensive of jewels and garments and the finest of threads, the most expensive and sensuous perfumes wafted off of her skin. Her company was constantly and unabashedly that of the opposite sex. And publicly, she was well known and often whispered about for her transgressions against the laws of God she had learned as a girl. But it is remarkable, and given to see how far away and how notably she had become a sinner in society, that God finds these mysterious ways to move a person's heart and to draw them back unto himself. It was said that Martha convinced Mary to go and attend one of the sermons of our Lord when he was preaching. She had no desire to go on her own. Christ was going all about Jerusalem at the time and all throughout the Holy Land. And it was well known that he was preaching. Mary had no desire to be there. In fact, she felt a repulsion to go because her conscience wouldn't want her to be there. It represented all that she had left behind. Yet Martha had insisted. She had invited, asked her sister, please, just come. Do it for me. Listen to the man's words. And as she would, just to placate her sister, she begrudgingly went without any intention of paying any attention. Yet as she sat there and she listened, and our Lord spoke and preached, truth shined through her ears, and grace from the giver of all grace came through to her heart, and it cut her deep. And slowly the ice melted, and she couldn't help it any longer. And she was sincerely changed. The ice melting of her heart flowed out as tears from her eyes. And a sorrow fell over her which she could not be comforted from. She sought out our Lord immediately afterwards to find him again. I want to come and be in his presence once again. The next location that she would find him to be would be at the house of Simon, a Pharisee. They despised Magdalene, and she knew to show up there would only cause further ridicule and derision and possible punishment of casting out. But for her point, it didn't matter. The conversion was too strong, the sorrow was too real. She knew full well that she had sinned and sinned publicly, and so therefore it was only right and fitting that her penance be public too. And so during the meal she came in uninvited, threw herself upon the floor at the feet of Christ, and wept. And the tears fell upon his feet, and she wiped them dry with her hair. And she took the perfumes that had adorned her all her life, and she emptied them out upon our Lord, anointing him because he was worthy and she was not. The sincerity of her heart, it gained our Lord's forgiveness, while the hardness and judgment of Simon's gained our Lord's rebuke. Mary changed. From that day forward, never again to return to her former life. She would follow Christ whenever possible. She'd draw herself near to him whenever able. She cared not for fear of ridicule, human respect, or even risk to her own life. No, she would not leave our Lord whenever it was possible. And that following after him was one that led her all the way to the foot of the cross of Calvary. Mary Magdalene would live a penitential life for the rest of her days. Persecution would come eventually to the Christians in Jerusalem. And being that Lazarus, it was well known as one of the great miracles of Christ, having been risen from the dead, and that the family was some of his favorite people, and their house in Bethany was the place he would like to dwell more than any other place. It was necessary for the Jews to get rid of these people. They rounded them up, they put them on a boat, they tore off the rudder, they tore down the sails, they dragged it out into the sea and left them to float until they died. But the winds of Providence brought them to Provence. And there in France they set up their lives. And Magdalene, she would teach many a young woman the truths that she had listened to while sitting at the foot of Christ, all the while retreating herself back every day into a cave, into solitude and silence, where she would pray and mortify herself and do penance for the sins long forgiven. Her reward in the end was one of great consolation and comfort. One more time she would be reunited to her master. Angels came to the cave, picked her up, and carried her out. They brought her down to the nearby church, where the priest came and gave her one final Holy Communion. And then, returning back to the place where she dwelt, she gave up her soul to be forever at his feet again. Her penance not only showed sincerity of sorrow, but it is also a lesson for all of us. It is a lesson that we, in having sorrow for our sins, need do penance. But it is by that same means that we also find strength and a cause of inspiration and grace for others, just as the Magdalene did herself. We should follow after her. That's not to say that you need to go and find yourself the nearest cave. That's unnecessary. But to follow her in the same spirit, within our own capabilities, to give of ourselves in little ways, in acts of sacrifice and penance. She always set herself, whenever possible, at our Lord's feet. This is to be our first mode of inspiration. Magdalene would draw herself as near as possible, simply to be in his presence. And we have the same ability. By means of our closeness and our devotion to the sacraments, most especially that of our Lord in Holy Communion, time spent here kneeling before his feet, finding him near to us in the tabernacle, drawing him even closer by those good receptions of that same Blessed Sacrament. The second means by which we follow after Magdalene is what we see in her anointing of our Lord with those costly ointments. One spiritual writer says of the ointments that she poured out upon our Lord when Judas was scandalized by it was sufficient to count as a year's worth of wages for the average person at the time. In that we see Magdalene, who had all of the means, who had all of the luxuries, that she was no longer attached to them in any way, shape, or form. They did not hold her back. They did not control her. They were not important to her any longer. And for us, we must detach ourselves in the same way. Not that we must not possess. It is fine to own. But rather that we must not be controlled by these goods. That our focus should be on the opportunities that the riches of this world can give us if we are fortunate enough to have them. The opportunities of charity. The opportunities to serve God through His church. The opportunities to do the things necessary to draw us nearer to God. How do we use what we have? And thirdly, the mode in which we are to be inspired by Magdalene is her retreat to the cave in solitude. For us, it is a call to find the sweet silence and solitude of prayer daily in our lives, set aside the world, give of our time, find ourselves torn away from the distractions and the noise so we can focus ourselves on the things of heaven. Mary Magdalene is our model of penitent, and by that she gives us all hope. She is a reminder to us, reminding us that it is not where we start out But rather it is where we finish, where we end up, that really matters. But it is that end that we must keep before us. It is that end that we must continually work towards. And it is that end that must be part of our daily lives, because we know not when it comes. But we do know that when it comes, if we keep working towards it and making it a good end, well, then it is a very much an end that is worth every effort that we can give. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.